Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Welcome again to another exciting episode of Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gamer radio program. Joining me, we have our beloved leader, Mr. Razor Page 7 Morgan.
Hello, Lee.
Right beside him, we have Candy Fewer Than Five Friends Payne.
Fewer Than Five Friends.
You said it.
Yeah, okay. Hi, everybody.
And Mr. Jody Professional Booklets McGregor.
Thanks, Lee. Hi.
And I am Lee Razor. What are we talking about on this episode?
Jody has been playing Papers, Please, which is a puzzle game with a communist twist, I understand, Jody?
Yeah, it's not that puzzly. It's about being a border inspector who checks passports.
And Mr. Chris Copcroft will be joining us, especially for the review of Space Hulk.
Purge the heretic.
He just talks like that.
That's Chris there. But let's kick this episode of Zed Games off as usual with the week's news headlines. And boy, we've just received a bunch of news over the weekend from GamesCon. So this is going to be an extra special jam-packed news. Please, Miss Candy Payne.
This is Zed Games News, bringing you gaming news headlines from Australia and around the world.
Kicking off the news, the Australian release date of Saints Row 4 has been delayed. The game, already a focus of media and consumer attention due to complications with the Australian Classification Board, was expected this week but has been pushed back until September. League of Legends, one of the world's most popular online games, has become the latest victim of hackers. Publisher Riot Games revealed that 120,000 encrypted credit card numbers were accessed by an unauthorized party. Users will be required to change their passwords upon logging in, and extra security measures are currently being implemented. Ba-bow.
That's significant.
Yeah, that's a lot of compromised data right there.
Yeah.
Electronic Arts has announced they will be offering a money-back guarantee on certain products sold digitally via the Origin client. The Origin Great Game Guarantee, which applies from this week onward in 20 countries, including Australia, will allow users to seek a full refund on games purchased within 24 hours.
You are listening to Zed Games, heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Welcome back to Zed Games. We're in the middle of a lot of news because Gamescom happened last night and we heard a lot of announcements from Microsoft and from Sony. Candy, what did Sony have to say?
Well, Sony gave us an official release date for the PS4. The console will launch in Australia and Europe on the 29th of November. North Americans only have to wait until the 15th of November, though, to get their hands on the PS4. And the Xbox One is scheduled for a November release also, but no specific date has yet been given. Additionally, Sony revealed the list of titles that will be available for the PS4 by the end of the year. The list of 33 titles includes exclusives like Killzone, Shadowfall, and Knack, as well as multi-platform blockbusters like Call of Duty Ghosts, Battlefield 4, FIFA 14, and Assassin's Creed 4. Sony also surprised consumers with the unexpected announcement that smash hit indie title Minecraft will be coming to the PS4, the PS Vita, and the PS3. Previously, this game was an Xbox exclusive. Hotline Miami 2 and Rogue Legacy will both make their console debut on the PS4 and PS Vita. Other indie titles scheduled to hit the PS Vita include Fez and Spelunky. More good news for the struggling PS Vita. Borderlands 2, one of our favourite games of last year, will make its handheld debut on the system, though no release timeframe was supplied. Last but not least for Sony, they've also announced the game upgrade program where gamers who purchase PS3 versions of titles Watch Dogs, Call of Duty Ghosts, Assassin's Creed 4 and Battlefield 4 would be eligible to receive a discount on the PS4 version of the same game.
Great move. Microsoft unveiled a whole bunch of stuff about their upcoming Xbox One. What happened, Gandhi?
I'll tell you. The company outlined its indie developer policy in great detail. This follows on from an announcement made last month that Microsoft would be reversing its decision not to allow indie developers to self-publish on the Xbox One. Games by indie developers will not be allocated their own section of the online store and will appear alongside titles from all publishers. Indie studios accepted into the program will receive two development kits free of charge. There will be no application fees or further costs to submit game updates. Priority for membership in the program will be given to developers with a proven track record of producing quality software, though all studios are able to apply. Onto the game side of things, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare and Peggle 2 will debut exclusively for Xbox One to be released for other platforms later.
That is hilarious.
Why?
Well, Peggle 2, who is like waiting out in the street, you know, at midnight to get their Xbox One so that they can play their casual ball flinging game. Like, that's not saying that Peggle 2 is a bad game. It's probably going to be as good as Peggle 1 was, which is a great game. It's just that it's not something that you pay a lot of money to get exclusively on your home super console. It's a casual game that can be played on a screen 4 inches tall.
The full roster of games that will be available from day one of the Xbox One launch was revealed. In total, the Xbox One has 23 launch titles compared with Sony's 22. Beat them by one.
Yeah, but that one is Peggle 2.
Shut up. Whatever, man. Microsoft also confirmed rumours that all European Xbox One customers who pre-order the console will receive a free copy of FIFA 14. Microsoft noted that in some regions, the Xbox One launch will be delayed until early 2014. At E3 in June, Microsoft originally said that the upcoming console would be available in November worldwide. The affected regions include the Netherlands, Russia, and other European countries, though Australia will still receive the console on time.
Whew. That's it for the news. Next up, Space Hulk.
The Emperor has gifted us with a mission to redeem ourselves. The Blood Angels need no longer carry the burden of defeat. We have detected the sin of damnation near our home planet. Low-frequency scans of the Space Hulk reveal the presence of gene steals.
Brothers, vengeance shall be ours.
So that's what Space Hulk sounds like. It's like if James Cameron directed Aliens when he was a teenage goth who read like a whole bunch of 2000 AD comics. It's really over the top. It's a faithful recreation of the board game in a lot of ways. It's a turn-based strategy game where you shoot up aliens. And when you do so, you even see on this log on the right-hand side of the screen what your dice have rolled so that you know if you rolled double ones and you're about to get eaten. Each mission, you take control of a squad or two squads of Marines. Unfortunately, there's no option to play as the aliens unless you play in multiplayer. And each mission, you have an objective, which might be to kill a certain number of aliens or to get to a certain place on the board and then perform some action, maybe cleanse part of the ship by setting fire to it with your flamethrowers. So each turn, you move your Marines in their huge, clunky, hulking turtle suits of armor through the spaceship. With a limited number of action points, you're always trying to save a few of those action points so that you can go into Overwatch and then shoot on the alien's turn. If you've played XCOM Enemy Unknown, it's a lot like that, where you are always just short of enough movement to get to the next bit of cover without getting eaten, and you always pray when you click that end turn button that you're not going to get eaten before your next turn.
I think some of the theatricality that is present in the board game version is kind of missing in this. A lot of people have spoken about how, you know, as you're on Overwatch there and, you know, you shoot at a gene stealer that's coming at you and you miss and it moves to the next square and you shoot and you miss and it moves to the next square and you shoot and you miss and suddenly it's right next to you and who is going to win and who is going to lose, who is going to live and who is going to die. That's quite a powerful cocktail of emotions. But I wasn't really getting that from the latest video game adaptation. It was just a bit frustrating, actually, to be perfectly honest. I was dying pretty much constantly and getting through the missions at an extraordinarily snail-like pace. Am I just really rubbish at this? I mean, look, that's a given. I am rubbish at this, but how rubbish at this am I? Because I don't think I've encountered a higher difficulty gradient, certainly in a Warhammer 40K game, and I think in any video game.
It is a hard game, but I haven't found it as hard as you have. I actually, back in 1993, when the first Space Hulk game came out, I played that, and that was harder. This is actually a step down from that one.
It's just you, Chris.
Well, actually, it's interesting. I think a lot of most people who I've talked to about this or who have I've read their experiences, they are all veterans of not only the first video game adaptation, but also the board game. And so they've got something to go on, which, I mean, an understanding, a sort of intuitive understanding, the mechanics that I'm lacking. I got to say, I mean, this was always going to be hardcore and for a limited audience, but people who come to this from, God forbid, you know, Space Marine, or even Dawn of War and Dawn of War 2 are just, they're not going to find much to hold on to here. They're going to find it like they're going to think their Terminators are made out of tissue boxes and the Gene Stealers are made out of main battle tank with 12 arms made out of chainsaws.
We're talking about Space Hulk for the PC, which is available now. Jody and Chris, would you like to just sum up the game, 30 seconds each? Final thoughts?
I'll say, if you just want a single-player version of the board game, this does that faithfully. If you're already a fan of the board game and you don't mind the fact that it's got really slow, clunky animations and the voice acting is annoying, you'll be able to get over that. But I was hoping for more. It's just enough, but I was really hoping they would do something a little bit more ambitious and go beyond what the board game offers, and maybe a campaign from the aliens' point of view or maps that don't look like they're flattened on a table. But it doesn't.
Chris?
I pretty much agree with what you say, but I'm less forgiving than you and also sucky at it, so finding it very, very difficult. It is a very difficult game. I play really difficult indie games like Teleglitch and enjoy being killed. This is not giving me the stuff to make me want to come back.
You're listening to Zed Games. Next up, we've got a review of Papers, Please by Jody. This is the theme song from that game.
That was the theme from the video game Papers, Please, and Mr. Jody McGregor has indeed been playing Papers, Please. Jody, can I see your papers?
Yes, you can. Here's my passport and a certificate that says I don't have polio.
Ah, it also mentions here that you are overweight, and I can tell that this is incorrect, so I assume you are carrying some kind of weaponry of some kind hidden about your person.
It's just a knife.
Oh, that's fine. Welcome to the country, sir.
So, papers, please. What's it all about, Jody?
It is a game set in a country called Ashdotska, which is this sort of post-Soviet or maybe split Germany state, this oppressive propaganda state. And you are a border inspector. It's your job to stop people from coming into Ashdotska with illegal papers, because even though it's this Orwellian nightmare, people from the neighbouring Orwellian nightmares want in because their countries are even worse than Ashdotska. The way it works, at the top of the screen you see the border, and on one side there's guards with their guns, and on the other side there's this sort of queue, this pixelated blob of humanity who've been backed up for days waiting to get processed. Mm. On the bottom of the screen there's a booth where you see them come in, and a little word balloon pops up and they start talking to you in Ashdotskan, which sounds like this guttural, awful version of Simlish.
Go but on.
The speech balloons explain what they're saying, and they're normally berating you for how long they've waited in line or begging to be let across. And then in the bottom right of the screen is your desk, which is the most exciting part, I swear to God, of what's happening. Because that's where their papers show up. That's where their passports and the entry permit they have and the rule book that you have to check everything against is. And you have a limited amount of time to shuffle through all of this stuff and check to see whether they've forged their papers or whether they have, whether they've, those papers have expired, or there's something that doesn't match up. Maybe the country their passport is from doesn't have a city with the name that was stamped on it. And maybe you look at all of these things and then you remember to check, oh yeah, it says you're a man and you're actually a woman, or the face on your passport doesn't match. There's so much stuff, you wind up getting snowed under all of this bureaucratic mess.
Wow, that's exactly what I want to come home and do at the end of a day, a really long day in the office pushing paper. That sounds thrilling.
I don't know. I don't work in an office, but that sounds fun.
Work in an office for a little while, man. I don't know.
Imagine if the person who gave you all of this paperwork was someone you could deny entry to a country or have detained, possibly bashed with a rifle butt and then dragged away.
Yeah, I don't know. So this sounds about as exciting as a game you brought in once where you parked cars. I don't know. It's along those lines, but please keep going. I'm sure it might get better.
So do you get rewarded for weeding out the right people?
Yeah. What makes it stressful is the way that your pay works. You get paid for every person who is successfully processed across the border, and if you let too many people across with invalid papers, you get fined. And at the end of each day, this little chart comes up listing how much money you've made and then how much money you have to spend supporting your entire impoverished extended family who all live in the same apartment dwelling as you. Your mother-in-law, your wife, your son, and your uncle, they're all listed alongside this, and you have to pay your rent, you have to pay food for all of them. If you can afford it, you keep the heat on. And if you can't, and often you can't because you get paid rubbish and you will screw up and get fined for letting people across the border, then you just have to be like, well, sorry, you know, Mum, we can't really afford to keep the heat on in our Class 8 apartment dwelling. You're going to have to go without. So then the next day, when people who are like corrupt officials or spies or smugglers show up and they start offering to bribe you to like gloss over their paperwork, you sort of, you're a lot more tempted than you would have been if you were a normal person who didn't have to worry about, you know, your entire family.
Wow, that's really bleak. You know?
It's really bleak. It's
doesn't
like
sound fun.
It's so rare to see like a game release that has a genuine, like relevant moral quandary like built into it like this. Like my inclination would be to, you know, I would want to be generous and I would want to allow people in and forgive things, but then you pay the price for that, not only in if you let people through when they've got faulty documents, that's a fine that you pay, but you also do occasionally, like there are instances where people are let through who actually probably should have been knocked back because that discrepancy is due to the fact that they're carrying a nail bomb or something like that. You know, I want to know what that's like. Like, how did you start playing this, Jody? Were you generous? Were you by the book?
I was trying to play by the book, but there were people who present you their sob stories about how if they get sent back, they're going to be separated from their family or possibly killed by their oppressive government. Yeah. Mm. And yeah, you do want to let those people across. And then you find yourself weighing that against the possibility that they're a terrorist. And when that happens, you see them, you know, attack or set off a bomb, and the guards, some of whom you can make friends with during the course of the game, they might die. And that's your fault. But if they get sent back to the country they're from and they get killed, that's also your fault. And then you think about the fact that you have to pay for your son's medicine at the end of the day, and then you make a decision.
Yeah.
And you realize that you've become a gear in this terrible machine.
Yeah,
I have to say, all jokes aside, I've got to give props to this as being like one of the first games I've heard of where you would voluntarily turn it on to make yourself feel sad. Really? No, I'm not kidding. I actually think that's a really interesting concept. I don't want to get on and play it ever, but I think it's a really brave move because there is so much that would be going through your head. Like, that would really mess with me.
Jody, you didn't mention what platform or console it's for.
Yeah, it's an indie PC game you can get for $10 on Steam or direct from the developer.
Yep, and you recommend it?
I totally do. If you want a game that's not so much about fun, but about stress and messing with your head, then I hugely recommend this. At the same time, there were moments when I spotted a forgery in someone's papers and I realized that the city their papers were stamped in wasn't in the same country they were born in. And I was like, aha, like, gotcha. And yeah, that was...
You felt good.
Yeah, I felt good. And then I felt bad about feeling good.
Yeah. That is Papers, Please. And that's the show. That's Zed Games. We'll be back next week at the same time. For more information about the show, please head to our Facebook, Zed Games AU. All right, we'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This has been Zed Games, recorded live in Brisbane on 4ZZZ and heard nationally thanks to the Community Radio Network. For more information on the show and to join the Zed Games community, head to our website, zedgamesau.net. That's spelt Z-E-D, or send us an email at contact@zedgamesau.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Zed Games is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.